Hello, and welcome back to the Coconut Grove podcast. You have Katie and Ashley here this week, and it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. In this episode, we are going to have an American history lesson with me, Katie, and Ashley's going to ask us all of her exciting history questions about what is the Thanksgiving history. Stay tuned. It's going to be fun. What's up, Ashley? Hello.
Hey. Just chilling over here in silence.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah, right? I know. Good. I have my cup of coffee.
Me too.
Because it's tea. Still early for me. Oh, nice. Oh, it's plus
tea. Super early.
A cup Cheers.
Of tea. Cheers.
Well, it's Thanksgiving in this episode.
It's Thanksgiving.
That's very exciting.
In this world. I know.
Yeah. In this world.
In this virtual world.
Thanksgiving and other worlds probably don't exist. Yes. cool. Do you want a lounge?
Let's go to the lounge.
Did you see that solo episode where I added like feet sound effects? It was so cheesy. But I was
cute.
Maybe we should have some sort of like, I don't know, like ding dong. Welcome to the lounge. I don't know.
I saw you like
sound effect
like this.
You could record.
You like pointed or something, and then it was like, and I was like, ah.
I know.
So Andy
did a great job editing, of course, as they always do. Okay. Well, let's kick it off with some stories and fun updates. You have a really fun story. I want to hear yours first.
Okay. So for like anyone who follows me on my personal Instagram, which is like where I'm the most active, maybe, I have been posting like the famous people that I've been seeing at the gym. So I got a Gold's Venice, like the retro, like slightly run down and rugged, like original bodybuilding gym in Venice. And honestly, I go because of like proximity and like the equipment, but I have been posting all of the famous people that I've been seeing there because there's like an unusual amount of famous people that go there, or like the famous like bodybuilder people. And I posted the other day that I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, and yesterday I saw him again, but like I was like right behind this man. I was like leaving the gym and he was there like getting on his bike, and I was just like, ah, like holding my phone.
That's so cool.
Like such a creeper. But I swear he didn't see because he was facing the other way. So I got a good look at his back, the back of his head.
Yeah. That's so crazy that he still goes there. My goodness. He's so old too.
And he's like, he's in good shape. Like he looks good. So that was pretty crazy. I'm just like, oh, wow.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
And so what is like the second time you've seen him, or third?
Third.
Ah,
but like
cool.
This is so close up.
Casual.
I was just like, you could reach out and touch him, but I'm not that creepy.
That's funny. That's cool.
So that was the one, and then the other was just like a little nod to our Friday night date night. We were like looking for good ramen places near us, and there was one on Venice Boulevard, but like up into Culver City. And I'll have to put it in the show notes because I think it was called Sakura. But anyways, it's like in this Asian marketplace of like, there's like a Japanese grocery store. And then it's just like this little like food court, but they all serve like ramen or bento. And it's so cute. And it was so good. So just like a win
nice.
For like a cash date night in LA. So I will like that for the LA Cocos. Yeah.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. Oh, it's so satisfying always finding like a new place to eat, especially a ramen place.
I know. Nice. Hard to find. Well,
yeah.
Actually, a little hard to find.
Yeah, like a really good, reliable one. Like, there's like some like decent ones. We have a ton of decent ramen places, but when you want like a good one that's like fairly priced and good ingredients and has different options, so you're not stuck with the one flavor that they have.
I know.
That's great.
Yeah. I know, but I think what was cool was just like you could go to like the other restaurants too. Like they're all like storefronts. Felt a little cafeteria-y, but like if you wanted bento, you could have just like gone and got like a fried rice and like tempura over there and like had it with your like ramen, and the ramen came in three sizes, which I've never seen. So like you could get like a small and just like make a meal, which was it's amazing. And it's like pretty good quality. So
Yeah.
That was fun. It was good. Very cool. Yeah. So tell us what your update is.
Okay. So I had to save this story for the podcast because we were laughing about it so hard yesterday. So I don't know if the retelling of this story right now in this episode is going to be as funny as it was in the moment, but I'm just going to tell it because I feel like it was just like a perfect event to happen to us as we were getting ready for the puzzles. Anyways, so yesterday, I mean, not when this podcast comes out, but yesterday when we were recording this, Ashley and I were getting together to record some ads for our sponsor, Puzzle. And they're really funny, by the way. When you see them, you're going to laugh so hard, hopefully. And we put some effort into it. Anyways, we were really excited about shooting our puzzle ads, but we had to like get our creative juices running. So we went on a walk and went to Erewhon to like live our LA girl lifestyle and like get the little snacky snacks and the cute little treats. So we went to Erewhon and we're feeling good about ourselves. And I get to the checkout and the guy is like, oh, like, what are you up to tonight? And like, I completely forget it's a Saturday night. And I'm like, oh, I'm building puzzles. And like in my head, I'm thinking like, that is like, it's so cool. It's so fun. Like that, how different, like nobody ever says that they're doing puzzles. Like it's going to be a win for this social interaction. And then like, he was like, oh, cool. Like, he's kind of like, all right. And then I was like, oh shoot, that sounds, yeah, that probably sounds so lame. It probably sounds like I am just like a loner on a Saturday night, just building puzzles. And then I was like, really quickly, I was like, with friends. And then I realized as soon as I said that, it just like, it made it sound so much worse.
So much worse.
It sounded like, oh my god! I'm building like puzzles. I tried to save face, but I couldn't.
With friends, them. It's just like, oh.
And he was just like, oh. He like didn't even he could not respond to it because it was like, okay, all right.
And I'm like at the other checkout, being like, dee dee dee.
Yeah, and I have like space buns in my hair, so I'm feeling like ultra geeky. Like not that I ever really think about that ever of like, oh, my hairstyle's making me look geeky or whatever, because I never think that way. But then I was like, oh, like my hairstyle looks like different than everybody else's in the store. I'm like sticking out Erewhon like a sore thumb. I am not an influencer. Like the people who come through there are not saying that they make puzzles on their Saturday nights. Like no. So that was like definitely like a funny social interaction and just like a peek inside of my head in my thought process. And Ashley and I had a really good laugh about it afterwards. And then we did build some puzzles together. So we did build puzzles with friends.
Yeah, it was so funny because I like came over to where you were checking out and I was just like, hey. And
you could feel
just,
the awkwardness.
Like from my perspective, I was like, what's going on? Like this other guy was like, I like your space buns. And you were like, okay, thanks. And you like grabbed your bag and like ran away. And like, I was like, what?
Yeah.
This girl was just no.
Yeah, no. I mean, on top of it, it was also just like absolutely nuts in there. And like, it was starting to overwhelm me. So
it kept
getting busier. And like, when we got into the store, we kept bumping into people, not being able to go down like different aisles. And like, people were like, pushing us and we're like, okay.
I know. And I was just like on a hunt for Vigo Bears and like they didn't have any.
Man. Yeah.
Anyways.
Jinx. So that was my story and fun update. I thought it was hilarious. Do you want to brighten it up with some sunshine medicine?
Okay, well, it's really similar. So before we went to Erewhon yesterday, I wrote it as a Katie date at Zinc, which honestly it was because it was so freaking romantic with that lighting. Oh my God. Like I'm obsessed. So
yeah, honestly,
like, yeah, we were going to make the puzzle ad. So we needed to just like have a moment of creative, like brilliance. So we started our date at Zinc. And at the front of Zinc is like a little cafe, which is so freaking chic.
It was beautiful. I can't wait to go back.
Right? And I haven't been in there at that hour. So the light was just like pouring in, like golden California light. And we were just like looking at the stuff. And I was just, I was just having a moment. Like, it was so beautiful. And then we sat down with like our delicious tea. It's so simple.
It was but, so like, good.
It's just such a magical day. I don't know. I'm just saying that on its own.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to steal that one from you, but I also agree. It did bring me some sunshine. And I was telling you that day that I was like having such a hard week. And like, yeah. I think that really helped me like get out of that kind of like rut. Nice. So yeah, I enjoyed it as well.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was like totally my sunshine medicine for like the month.
Oh, good. Aw, same.
Yeah.
I love those moments together.
So what's yours?
Mine is my smoothies. I've been in my smoothie era again. I've kind of been posting a little bit on Instagram on my stories, just like sneak peeks of what I've been making. Because I was like going out and getting smoothies for a minute and like 2 or 3 days of that in a row and your bank account is empty. So I couldn't do that anymore. I had to buy the ingredients. So I've been making smoothies at home and they have been so good. And you guys know who listened to the podcast that I've been having issues like with eating and my stimulant medication for my ADHD. So trying to figure that out, and smoothies really do help. Just make sure I'm getting calories in, make sure I'm getting nutrition and that I'm not starving myself the whole day on accident. So I've been really loving my smoothies. They've been making me feel really good and it's been like so delicious. Like I introduced Ashley to the yogurt that I put into my smoothies every morning. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to put it in your smoothie, Ashley, but it's like, it makes it so good. And then I add a little bit of blue spirulina to like change the color, honestly. Like I know it has all those extra health benefits, but I just like the color. And then I just have my blue smoothie and it's just like strawberry banana with almond butter, coconut yogurt, coconut milk, and like some vitamins, basically. And that's it. And
that yogurt is to die for.
It's so good. It's so good. I almost put it on my What's Hot. That's how good it is. So Coco June. And the one that I get is the vanilla chamomile, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, that's what you... good. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yum.
I love that.
What are you looking forward to? Yes.
What am I looking forward to? Okay. So two things. First of all, definitely the Friendsgiving and a delayed Canadian Thanksgiving, which we're having on American Thanksgiving. So like Thanksgiving is what I'm looking forward to.
Nice. Timely.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. And also, I'm looking forward to something that we're going to be releasing probably in the next like week or so, the gift guide.
Yeah, I think in the next episode.
Yes. So we're putting that together now. So I'm super excited because I've never formally had a like it to know it or like Amazon storefront. And guys, like... we suggest things we like and you like them too. So I'm so flattered. So we're going to put together a gift guide and just make your lives a little easier. A little bit of like bougie LA for your stockings this year. So I'm really stoked about that. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I am too. Yeah. I started putting mine together. I'm really excited. Okay, so on my looking forward to, I have winter fashion. I'm looking forward to like big coats and lots of layers. Like I look outside, it's windy right now. Yeah. And when it's windy, it like drops like 10 degrees alone when it's already cold. So I am looking forward to like bundling because like right now it's kind of like jacket weather, but it's not coat weather. I'm looking forward to coat weather, you know?
I did not know there was a difference, but I know what you mean. You were wearing a jacket yesterday or a shacket.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I feel like coat weather is more like New York winter. Like you've got the long coat, you've got the scarf, you've got the turtleneck, the sweater, and the like, yeah, like some other layer in between all of it, like a jacket in between the coat, you know?
Wow.
So I can't wait. Cold. I love when it, yeah, winter fashion is just so nice though. And like last episode, I was talking about like, dad fashion as what's hot. So kind of a combo there of things to look forward to. Some dad fashion and some winter fashion.
I get it. I'm like, I have lived so long in a jacket
you miss
that
summer.
I'm just like,
you miss summer.
You know, already. I could probably go my whole life without ever. I mean, I miss like the rainy days because like you could read a good book, like you don't feel guilty for not going outside. Like, yeah, if it wanted to be terrible weather for like 1 month, that would be fine because it's like cozy and there's a whole like whatever, like hygge situation going on.
Oh, yeah.
But if it wants to be summer for 11 months of the year, like that's fine. I don't think I will have any regrets. But then
for
I moved
sure.
to LA.
I feel like sometimes though I get really tired of being sweaty all the time and I just want to feel cozy, like a little like because I also love summer. It's probably my favorite or second favorite season. But something about like putting that red lipstick on in the winter, it just, you know what I mean? It just like it hits
different. Totally know what you mean.
I feel like having a scarf, it just like it just gives me like, you know, granny with the cigarette in New York vibes, you know, like anything with that, like anything with that vibe I love. So I think I'm just like really excited to be able to express that kind of fashion more so than the actual being cold. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, I get it. I think a lot of people probably feel that same way. That's fair.
Right. Okay, what's hot then? Tell us what's hot.
This little guy. I don't know if it's like really trendy right now, but they're having a huge sale and it reminded me how much I love them. A little ASMR.
Is it a serum?
Ooh, yeah. So it is The Ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the retinol.
Oh, nice.
It's so freaking good. So this is a 2% retinoid gran active emulsion. So it's like really smooth and it goes on really nicely. It literally changes my life overnight. Like it.
That's great.
I have like gross, like dull looking, like cracked, like cakey skin. Well, don't put it on cracked skin, but like cakey skin.
Aww.
And I put a little thin layer on. I do like the whole ordinary routine. Layer it up with like a thicker moisturizer and I literally wake up looking like an angel. I'm not even kidding.
Your skin is glowing right now.
Right? So. Like, okay.
Do we have to blame it on that? Oh.
Yes. Like it's so good. Be careful. Now, I don't think it's good for pregnant ladies or people with cracked skin, like I said. There's a lot of issues, but man, if you have
can't go out in the sun, I think, right? With retinol.
Yeah.
Like you should put it on at night.
Yeah, do it at night. But this guy, honestly, such high quality ingredients in this formulation, and it's super freaking cheap. And I think they have a sale on this month. So check out The Ordinary.
They are a good brand. Yeah.
Super good brand. And I'm bringing it back because it honestly has been saving me in this fall winter transition. And while I was sick, my skin was looking so bad. So I'm just like, thank God for this because it really helped. It brought life back to my skin and they're on sale. That's what I keep saying. Go buy them.
Yeah, you have to put it on your gift guide.
I will. Yeah. So tell us what's hot for you.
Okay. So on my what's hot list, I'm doing a kind of food and drink item. I was thinking of a couple of different things I could have put on my what's hot list, but then I was realizing that I drink this coffee all the time. And it's like a coffee subscription. So anybody can get this coffee. It's not just like a local, you have to live there for it. So this coffee company is called Awesome Coffee Club. And they are a completely like circular, good for the planet, good for the farmers, good for everybody coffee company. And it's like I guess technically it's not a nonprofit. I guess like they make profit, but the profits go right back into the like farmers and into the farms. And so it's completely circular. So we've talked about circular businesses on the podcast a couple of different times with I think like Whimsy and Roe and a couple of other businesses. So this is like one of them. So their packaging is completely sustainable. Their coffee is single origin, really good. They work with one farm. Everybody who is associated with the company gets a fair wage. And the coffee is really, really good. So highly recommend if you are a coffee person who wants like a really good cup of coffee, but like kind of frowns down maybe on the ethics of coffee. This is a good place for you. And it's only, I think, like $15 a month. So it's a pretty standard price for a cup of or for a bag of coffee. And it ships right to your door. So it's your choice how often you want it to ship to you. But I just do it once a month. And it lasts about like a week or two, depending on how much coffee I drink. Wow. Yeah. And I really like this company. I think they're great. So I highly recommend. I believe it is. Yeah, I don't believe it's just you. I don't think it's just US, but I might be wrong. Double check on that with the company, but it's Awesome Coffee Club.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about holiday stuff. Okay, why don't we go through the episode goals? Okay, so we have enjoy an honest and hilarious American history lesson from me. Ashley is going to ask me some of her must-ask questions. We're going to talk about what we're looking forward to for the holiday season, just in general. And then hopefully we're going to give you some seasonal entertainment. So if you put this on Thanksgiving, on the day that is out, you have something fun to listen to and just kind of like cook to or chill out to or introduce your friends and family to. So let's head on over to the topic.
I'm so excited for this episode.
Yeah, what do you want to know about American Thanksgiving? So I asked you to do a little bit of homework because you didn't know that there was like kind of a history behind it, but like the history behind American Thanksgiving is like layered a little bit of like what's the real history and what's like the elementary school history and the middle school history and the history that we share with everybody. Yeah, so did you get a chance to look into it?
Yeah. Come up with some questions. I'm just sitting here being like, like I'm just so excited for the holidays and like to welcome everyone to the holidays on this episode. I was just kind of like thinking like I should have had a more like holiday background. But anyways, in terms of Thanksgiving, so I looked into like a first grader's level of knowledge for American Thanksgiving, like what is American Thanksgiving? And okay, I guess I can kind of summarize like what I know, which is probably even less than like maybe the world knows, or maybe it's about what the world knows. Basically, it seems like a strange religious sect of people came from Europe called the Pilgrims and landed on a boat called the Mayflower and interacted with what we called Native Americans here, I think, and had a big dinner, and winter was really hard, and a lot of people died, and that's how they colonized some region in America.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we were told.
Okay.
So
lots of questions there.
Yes. Kick it off. Would love to know what you think. Did you get a chance to look at the crafts that we had to make, like arts and crafts?
Sort of. I was just like, I know that you mentioned the whole like headbands, and I was just like, ooh, tell me why we are making headbands. Like that's kind of freaky.
Yes.
And like
headbands with feathers. Yes, headbands with paper feathers with a little stapler that you put to your little head, and you take a photo with all your other little first grade friends.
Creepy. They're probably all not Native American. Is that the correct term here? Because in Canada, it's not called that. They are not called this.
Yeah, we would call them Native Americans. But I guess like we also used to refer them to them as Indians. And like that's a whole thing. And like I forget people still call Native Americans Indians. Like I'm like, wait, you haven't read a book yet, have you? Because, okay, so do you know the story of why we call them Indians?
Yes, I do. But I don't know if anyone else does.
Okay, yeah. So basically, like, Christopher Columbus was, like, being like, oh, we have a straight shot to India. Let's do it. And then they were like sailing and then they got lost in the sea and all of the storms.
They
and
went the wrong
They landed
direction.
And they're like, we're in India. Look, these are the Indians. And then in, yeah, so obviously they were not in India at that part.
So in Canada, yeah, so we refer to people of Indigenous descent as like First Nations or Métis or Inuit, depending on where they're from. But I like, that's fine. I just want to clarify that for my Canadian peeps, I hear you. I know that I'm saying the wrong thing, but in America, it's more culturally appropriate to say Native American. So asterisk, you could put like a little bubble. That's a fun fact.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think it's because there's too many like kind of like subcultures within it to be like, you know, to call everybody one, you know, you are, you know, Chattahoochee or whatever.
Yeah, we say either First Nations for what we're calling Native Americans. And then if you're not First Nations, you have your other culture, but there are subcultures within them. And then if you want to make an umbrella term, you say Indigenous. That is just Canada. I don't know where that lands anywhere else.
I mean, Indigenous would be the same here, too. People would also use the term Indigenous. Yeah.
But that's fine. That's just a nod to my teachings back home. So my first question I had for you is, who the hell are these pilgrims and why are they coming on a boat?
Okay. So I don't know honestly where the term pilgrims came from, but these were Puritans. They are essentially, I wouldn't call them like extremist Christians, but they definitely were of a Christian religion that they had very specific beliefs and very specific views on life. And that's why they fled from Europe, because in Europe it wasn't, they couldn't find like a comfortable like area to be able to talk about their form of religion. So that's what they say is like, America was founded on like religious freedom. So that's kind of like why you'll hear people say that, is because the Puritans came to America to basically be able to live their religious freedom. That's not how America as a nation was founded. Let me make that clear. But that is what happened in the initial discovery of America, which are completely separate events.
Okay, what? Like this group was being persecuted for having like more, I guess, not accepted religious views. And they were like, okay, let's go to this big landmass called America and do whatever we want.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Because like once it was like founded, they were like, cool, let's head there. You know what I mean? But it was not initially like they weren't like, let's find America, because like they didn't know that existed. And so that's when you have the whole like Lewis and Clark expedition, where they were like, oh, there's more land. And that's when they headed west. So they started on the East Coast.
Right. Like, so in this Virginia. Boat. Okay. So it came into where? Virginia, you said?
Now,
it's not on the water.
Now, let me also add that some of my American history might be tainted by the things that I learned in elementary school. So like sometimes I have to sit and think, I'm like, wait, is this something that I learned in elementary, or is this like something that I was able to like reconfirm in my adulthood? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, as a kid, I think we were taught like Virginia, but truthfully, because it was like Plymouth Rock, right?
Does Virginia have a coastline?
No, Massachusetts. Plymouth is in Massachusetts. But let me search this right now.
Yeah, I am also like not expecting you to know the entire American history.
No,
because questions.
Yeah, so the thing is, okay, so in 1492, Italian explorer Christopher Columbus made landfall in what is now the Bahamas. So he didn't originally start. That's what I thought. I was like, because my American history, my elementary history, I don't think was right. From what I recalled learning as an adult, that he didn't actually like start in Virginia or whatever, or Massachusetts. He he was exploring other areas of the country. Like there was Mexico, which obviously Mexico wasn't like discovered, but it was like that massive land, you know, was kind of all the same. What California is now used to be what Mexico was, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like they were starting to divide the different areas of, you know, who wanted specific land, because once the land was discovered, you know, you had other Europeans that were like, my turn. You had the French coming over. You had the Spanish coming over. The Italians, as you know, like with Christopher Columbus. So it was quite the mess, you could say.
All the while, there's a whole like other group of people living there being like, yeah, we've been chilling for like hundreds and thousands of years. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, literally. And, you know, they were like, hey, you know, welcome to our land. Have you tried corn? Have you tried potatoes? Have you tried these things that you have never seen in your life? And what do the Europeans do in exchange? They massacre everyone. They poison everyone and they steal the food and they laugh.
Wait.
And
wait. Yeah. So, okay. So they, this is horrifying.
Like, back up. Back up.
There's a lot happened there in the last 30 seconds. So
yes.
Yeah, there was people coming in Mexico. I heard that. So the Pilgrims land in this giant boat.
According to first grade.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, you're saying it maybe in Virginia?
I think what I looked up is Massachusetts. Now,
okay.
What actually happened is that he landed in the Bahamas.
Oh, wait. That's before Christopher moving Columbus. But what about the Pilgrims?
Yes. That was the whole thing. Because they, I mean, oh. Christopher, well, now you have me confused because what I learned in elementary school
is
that they all came together. You know what I mean?
What
and
the
it's
heck?
Like,
okay.
And the well, because it's like the land was discovered and then people started being able to move over there. Essentially, they were like, okay, the king is crazy. We're going to go over here. That kind of thing.
Right. Okay.
We're going to go have our religion over there because there's civilization over there now. You know what I mean? So it's like somewhere within the time of him discovering the land and like probably the 1600s. So between when he landed in 1492 and then sometime in the 1600s,
the Pilgrims came.
That's kind of when the Pilgrims were moving.
Yeah, in 1620.
Okay.
So they came 200 years after.
1620. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah,
because it wasn't until the 1800s that Thanksgiving was officially made a holiday.
Oh, okay. So that's coming. But so I heard that the ship lands and then effectively, yeah, they have a dinner. And I'm like, well, were they greeted with open arms? Were these Native Americans like cool with this? Like,
they were fine at first, you know, you had translators too. You had Native American translators that were able to learn English and they were able to translate between the tribes and the soldiers of like what's happening. So essentially what they did is they had the natives teach them everything, teach them how to farm, where's the food, where's the good water, where do you get this, where do you get that, how do you build? Because the resources in the Americas are completely different than the resources in Europe. So there was a lot of like new and interesting stuff that they had never seen before. Yeah. So essentially the natives, like, what do they know? They're like, okay, there's this, you know, white man coming in and these godlike ships. Like, I think my mom, when I was a kid, my mom described, she had like read this book and she described the experience of like seeing clouds float to you. She was like reading something. I don't even remember. So I might completely be botching this memory. But what I remember is her describing like the natives they saw clouds moving towards them, which were the sails, because they had never seen a boat that big, right? So it's like, what can your mind actually visualize when you don't know what you're looking at? You know, it tries to rationalize. Like when you look at something and you're like, what the frick is that? Like the shadows are weird and you wait till your eyes adjust and you're like, oh, that's just a coffee cup. How did my mind like completely warp that image? So you can imagine in that position where you'd never seen a boat before of that size and probably a few of them coming in at the same time in these huge white sails. It's like, kind of like this godlike being coming to you. And they had things that the natives had never seen before. You know, they had like swords and this glorious clothing and, you know, their armor and the gold and everything. So it was definitely kind of like one of the like more terrible parts of American history is that the natives were just completely taken advantage of. They welcomed, you know, the Europeans with open arms, shared everything that they knew, and then they were, trigger warning, they were raped and massacred and poisoned. They were given, they were specifically exposed on purpose to different illnesses because they knew that, you know, these natives had never been exposed to, you know, polio or whatever before. I don't know if it was actually polio, but it was something like that. Some sort of viruses. Smallpox, that's what it was. They were like, oh, well, you know, we have medicine and cures over there. We know what to do. But, you know, these people have never been exposed to it in their life. Their immune systems would never know what to do. So they essentially would give them blankets from children who had died from smallpox. They would give the natives blankets. And then those natives would sleep with them and get smallpox and die. So it was a complete genocide. And that's what American history is truly founded on. And it's something that is not taught. I was never, ever, ever, ever once taught that information in school. And anywhere in school was I taught that there was a genocide of the natives ever, which is cruel and fucked up. And yeah. So anyways,
so that's when, that. When Big did breath. You first start learning about that? Like, when did that come to tension in your adult life?
By being on the internet, just exposing myself to information. I just have a naturally curious mind and I have a natural drive for social justice. So if I have friends who had mentioned something to me, you know, if they are of Native descent or, you know, whatever they are, and they were to express some information to me that I had never heard as a white privileged woman, then I would take that exactly as it was, because that was their experience and their history. And then I would do research on it from there and try and learn what I could. I also was surrounded by a lot of people who are also really big into social justice. So it's like, I think I learned of like how fucked up Christopher Columbus was like maybe 17 and that whole thing. But like, again, like that was 17 years of my life thinking all American history was just like pilgrims and sunshine and rainbows. You know what I mean? And like,
turkey, corn, so, mashed potatoes, turkey. And happiness.
Right. I know. Exactly. And just sharing a meal and sharing thanks. And it's like, as I got older and the more information that I would learn and the more that I would listen to indigenous people of like their experiences and like how we still haven't really ever said we're sorry, like at all, ever. We gave them some land and we still don't even give them food. We still don't give them money. We still put gas lines right through their sacred lands. Like, we still don't respect them. So it's very still a very sensitive subject. And it's very raw and fucked up. Yeah. So yeah, it's let's brighten it up with some funny questions.
Thanks. Let's give some thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, happy holidays. What are you going to get for gifts this year?
Oh gosh, such a good question. I actually have no idea. I'm stuck in a spiral of trying to decide what's a good gift, what's a bad gift, and what's just going to get thrown out in January. Do you have any ideas?
I totally get that. Yeah, I totally get that. Have you thought about puzzles?
No, absolutely not. Puzzles give me old man vibes. No.
Okay, not Puzzle. A Puzzle makes an ordinary night feel like a party. Their puzzles feature fun and eclectic designs like my favorite, Balls in Your Court, which show off disco balls because you know I love to dance.
Wait, that looks really cute and really fun. What other designs do they have?
Okay, so I have picked out my second favorite, which I think is perfect for you. Sugar Daddy, because of course Nestor is an amazing chef and you guys love fine dining.
I'm literally obsessed. Okay, how much do they cost? Let's be real, we're in a recession.
I know. Actually, their small bundle set is pretty great. It's $52 But get this, we have partnered with Puzzle Puzzles and we're giving away a gift set for the holidays and one for the Coconut Grove anniversary.
Oh my gosh. Okay, give me all the details, please.
Okay, so for the main winner for the Coconut Grove anniversary, we're giving away the 4-pack of the 1,000-piece puzzles, which features our two favorites, and two other designs, which are Nectar of the Gods and Roll the Dice.
Is there a runner-up?
Yes, for the runner-up for the holidays, we're giving away their two 500-piece puzzles. That's Cool as a Cucumber and Pie in the Sky. Super cute.
I'm literally obsessed. Okay, where can I find them year-round? Because these are definitely going to be more than just a seasonal product.
Totally agree. So if you want to go and pick up any of these for yourself at any point in the year, check out pezelpuzzle.com. That's P-E-Z-E-L puzzle.com. And use our promo code. Guys, we have a promo code. COCONUTGROVE 20 for 20% off your first order.
Dang, that's a great deal. Okay, I'm officially stocking up now. Thank you so much, Ashley.
You bet.
Cool.
Yeah. So, well, okay, did you know any of that before? Or had you heard any of that?
Well, I'll say this. I knew about Christopher Columbus because we have a very similar history, but it's the French and the English who basically discovered Canada. And also, I think there was some like Viking settlers who discovered Canada again, like hundreds and thousands of years before the Europeans. But right. Even still,
yeah, I think we had the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think our land was discovered before Christopher Columbus, but it was like, cool. We're going to peace out or go over here.
They just left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they died. Maybe that's one for the indigenous folks.
Yeah.
So I guess like I knew a little bit because Canada has a similarly dark past. And I think what we can at least say today is that we look at Canada like the friendly little sibling of America. And unfortunately, like, we're just a little shit because our history is pretty ugly. And we also don't talk about it. But Canada is making some amends and is starting to talk about the history and is starting to acknowledge it on public platforms. I don't think it's nearly enough. I don't think it's being received well by Indigenous folks. I think it's being received partially. It's landing partially with some younger folks, but it's not enough. So, like, I know that in Canada as well, we had smallpox outbreak. That's why I thought it was smallpox. And I
figured, it would make sense. Okay,
same.
Yeah.
Because I know, like,
what is my memory? Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, no. I only remember that because I was like, smallpox. I don't know. It's just weird little facts get locked away. Not helpful. And what else? I guess we had similar treatment. I know there was like this. I wonder if we could flash to this, if I could get a clip of this, but literally anyone who grew up in Canada will remember they were like historic moments. And we had little videos in the 90s. They're like commercial breaks that came on certain channels and they were just like telling you about Canadian history. And I remember this one where like, I guess the settlers came and they were like, what is this land? Where are we? What is this land we're upon? And then like the First Nations people were just like, this is Canada in like whatever particular language it was. I don't know which group it was, but they're like, Canada. And they're like, what a nice name. Where is Canada? And he's like pointing to the village. He's like, it's the village. you're in the village. And they were like, we shall call this place Canada. And so Canada is just called the village. That's literally what that means. So
cute. It's a very large village.
It's just like white people ignorance from freaking day one.
Yeah.
And I knew some of the history because I was making guesses based on my Canadian history.
Yeah.
But it's heinous. And I didn't know about like, I didn't even think like how much First Nations people or Native Americans would have helped with the first crops and like how confused.
That's the only reason why. That they were able to survive is because without them, they would have never been able to.
like, how do you grow
it's
this?
It's rainy, it has particular, horrible.
Yeah. It's wet.
Yeah, everything, like the natural medicine that they had there, because that's the thing is, like, you know, we think medicine is only like a 21st century invention. Like, medicine has always been an ancient practice, and yeah. It's always come from the earth. So yeah. They would be healing the sick, right? Until that they came across something that was truly violent and was practically man-made because they leveraged it against them on purpose. Yeah.
I know. And I think that's the most.
When they sat down for their meal, they were not sitting down with the natives. They were sitting down with their fellow white men, and they were enjoying the food that the natives taught them how to grow and that the natives picked for them.
Yeah, it was total colonization. It's a sick history. Let's jump into the last part. And I think I'm just proposing a last minute thing here, but I've got some weird questions for you, but I think at the end we should just give a few thanks so that not everyone is crying and feels horrified at the end of this, although you should. Okay. But leave with a bit of sunshine. Okay. So maybe we give thanks at the end.
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, this is still supposed to be entertainment. Like, is fucked up as that sounds right now. Okay, so here's the thing. Like, here's the thing about our podcast. Like, we're going to teach you some information. Some of it might be uncomfortable, but like, we cannot change the past. We cannot change history. So let's just get used to talking about it so that we can change the future. If we're too sensitive to talk about it, then nothing will ever get done. And we'll continue to watch this tragedy before us and wonder, why does it keep happening? It's because we're too sensitive to talk about it. Let's just admit our mistakes. See where we went wrong and swear to never do it again. It's like, it's the exact reason why you can go into Germany and not talk about Nazis, because they're like, hey, we have a history. You can go into this museum. You can look at it. You can see everything. Everything sucks, but we're honest about it and we're never going to ever do it again. It's like that. We have to do that with all of our history all the time.
Yeah, I think North America's pretty slow on that. I guess there's been a few small wins in recent history, for Canada, at least. You know, they uncovered the graves of the children who died in residential schools. It was broadcast. It was shared. We've been, you know, giving financial ends, but I really think we're just like in this little infancy. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people are just like, look at the white people, they're giving back. And I'm just like, just shut up about it. Just shut up about it. Like, continue and don't ask for praise and make it better. Like, do better. Exactly. Like, say more. Not hardly doing anything. Okay. But shelving that for another day, because we could talk and we could rant.
Shake off the history. Cool. Let's feel festive. Let's feel seasonal. Let's feel silly. What are your questions for the holidays?
First question, maybe two questions. It has to do with food. Mm-hmm. Do you know why turkey? Why turkey?
I think it was just like in abundance, but I do know that the turkey was proposed as the American national bird as opposed to the eagle. So I know that we love our turkeys, but I just think that they are like an abundant bird here, at least in the regions that the Americas were founded. There was always tons and tons and tons of wild turkey. When I went to my grandma's in Alabama, I believe years ago, for Thanksgiving, there was a turkey in the backyard, and they were like, let's go get this turkey. We're gonna go shoot this turkey for Thanksgiving.
So, I love that accent.
I don't eat meat, but you can imagine my face when they were saying that. So. So we just like turkey. It's just everywhere.
Just everywhere. Well, I mean, I guess that's like smart thinking. Back in the day, if you're hungry, like, let's make it about turkey. They're literally everywhere. So if we had corn, which was like more of an American thing, how come we don't really have any corn in our meal? Like, our Thanksgiving, like, maybe people have corn as one of the dishes, but it's like not a main.
Cornbread.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Is that
cornbread is a, I would say that's pretty big. At least, like, okay, it might be a Southern thing, you know? I don't know if every other region of the Americas does cornbread for Thanksgiving, but I definitely grew up on cornbread for Thanksgiving for sure.
Oh, okay. Tell me, this leads into the next question. What is your typical, or like maybe your relative's typical Thanksgiving? Because I know you don't eat meat. Like, tell us the main dishes.
Like what I eat, like what I would have.
Yeah. Like, I know you wouldn't eat a turkey, but like in theory, that's a pretty big dish. And then what else?
Yeah. Stuffing always. It's my favorite. It's my favorite dish is the stuffing. There's always some sort of like green beans, but when my grandma made it, it would always be like a casserole with bacon. So I couldn't eat that, but it used to be like a gravy and like crunchy onions on top of green beans. Like that's a thing.
Crispy onions? Like,
yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Like those like crunchy onion toppings.
Oh, that's nice.
Everybody else liked it. And then a lot of family recipes, like, I mean, technically they're not family recipes, but they're like recipes from like the 70s or 80s, you know, when grandma was really like in her cooking era that she could never let go. So it's like, yeah. There's this pudding dessert that is a family favorite. It's like pudding and whipped cream and like graham crackers, I think. And it's just like a cold, fluffy dessert. Like, I don't even honestly know what is all in it. It's just really good and really sweet and really chocolatey.
Does it have gelatin in it?
But I think like, the gelatin is like the pudding, technically.
Oh,
it's like jiggly from the pudding. Oh. But it's not like a jello.
I was like, are we talking about a terrain here? Because those were huge. Like,
no,
like
so it's called
lime
a fourfold
green, like,
delight.
Oh.
Okay. No, it's chocolate. It's like a chocolate pudding. It's chocolate and whipped cream and like marshmallows or something like that. Maybe marshmallow fluff or something. It's like, it's very desserty.
Wow.
And I think it's from like the 80s or longer. So that's a favorite. Somebody always does a potato salad. That's a good one. I like a potato salad, which is just like basically like potatoes, celery, mayo, eggs, mustard. Pretty much like salt and pepper.
That's
really
interesting.
Pretty much
a potato salad is like a summer barbecue food, but it would totally go well with Thanksgiving.
It does, yeah, because you like put a lot of paprika in there, make it kind of like earthy.
Mm.
Yeah, those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. Always a pumpkin pie. That's like the kickoff of pumpkin pie season is Thanksgiving. A sweet potato casserole. There's always sweet potato. I love
really?
A sweet potato too. The best. That's
wow.
My favorite probably dessert because you put like brown sugar and like crunchy pecans on it and like it's got maple syrup in it and toasted
I've
marshmallow.
I've never had this. I've never had this or even
best.
Really heard of this.
What?
Yeah.
I feel like a sweet potato casserole is probably a Southern thing, but I think everybody has some sort of like actual like sweet potato dish.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Okay.
At least in America. I might be wrong. I mean,
no,
I've learned
sure
with Nestor, like
close to the average.
Like not everybody aligns on what Thanksgiving really means to them. So it's
yeah.
different.
Huh, that's
yeah.
crazy. Okay. And like you guys get together and like what do you do on your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so usually we would get together early. Like cooking started like a day or two before.
Oh wow.
So then yeah, cuz like Thanksgiving dinner like actually is at like 12, 1? Like I feel like everybody's finished eating by 2. Like dessert, everything is done by 2. And then the rest of the day
Hang
is
on,
just like
why?
Drinking and playing.
Why do we
eat at
lunch?
It's just like the way it's just lunch. Yeah, it's usually lunch, but it's like an all-day dinner. So it's like you eat, you like hang out, you talk. Sometimes like when we would go to my grandma's house, we would like play like football together, like everybody would go outside and choose teams and then we would just like throw a ball around and like tackle each other and whatever. So basically burn off all the calories of all the food that you just ate and then everybody would get really tired around 4, take a nap from the turkey apparently. And then yeah, the nap would be about like 30, 45 minutes, just like a nice, easy nap. And then eat more food when you woke up. And then the drinking usually starts if it hasn't already. And the board games start. So it's like once the sun goes down, board games are out, drinking starts, everybody's laughing, eating more food. And then everybody is like gone by like 9 or something like that. So it's like a whole day for our family. That's what we did. I don't know if everybody's family does that.
That sounds so nice.
That's basically what we would do as a kid.
So
yeah, it was really fun.
From like the Canadian perspective, I don't speak for everybody, but like what we think of American Thanksgiving is like, okay, so Americans take like a whole week off and they're so excited because we were under the impression that it's bigger than Christmas. And everyone goes and fries, like deep fries a turkey with like a big stick in a garbage can. And yeah, that's all I know about American Thanksgiving. There's a lot of burn injuries from the oil.
I've heard of the burn injuries, but I've never seen a fried turkey at our Thanksgiving. It's usually like slow cooked. So it's like really juicy and really like soft.
Yeah. So your Thanksgiving sounds way more like what I thought a person may enjoy.
Like a normal person would do, I think. I don't think people get that excited over Thanksgiving. I think they get mostly excited that it's like holiday season.
Okay.
And they're excited to have the time off. They're excited to eat. And they're probably excited for Black Friday deals.
Oh, and yeah, that's also that every American's just like ready to buy their Christmas gifts like on half price. Like, go.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I had a blast as a kid with Black Friday because I thought it was the funniest thing. I was like, what? People wake up at 3 a.m. to go shopping at a mall? Yeah. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
I was thrilled to participate in Black Friday as a kid until I realized like how much capitalism infects our everyday life. To make it horrible again, to make this episode, like, we're like, it's going to be a fun, funny, hilarious, lighthearted episode with death.
It's about and death and capitalism
and
destruction and shame. Happy holidays,
Happy
everyone.
Holidays. Exactly.
So that's a perfect lead into what are you thankful for?
Okay. I am thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to live in LA. I am thankful for my 5 cats. Oh. I am thankful that Nestor is such a good cook. I am thankful to be here, to be alive, I guess. What about you?
So nice. I'm thankful for how good LA has been to me, including really good friends like you and Nestor, and how glorious the sun is, and what it's done for my mental health. I'm thankful for Mike and how good of a partner he is still and getting better, and how much I love him even after 11 years this month.
I love that. So cute.
And I'm just thankful for everyone back home who just continues to support and love me from a distance. And it's just like dealing with it as I go and do my things and do my life. And they're just like, we miss you, but we support you. And that's so nice. So, yeah.
That's special. I love that.
Yeah. All right.
Well, with that,
I feel better now.
I know. We end it on a positive note. Cocos, tell us what you're grateful for. Hit us up on our Instagram. You can follow us at Coconut Grove Pod. You can follow me at Katie Dessen and Ashley at Ashley Hansen. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. If you watch this episode, hi, nice to see you. Happy Thanksgiving. We hope you guys have a great one. And stay tuned for next week. It's going to be another special. We are doing our 1-year anniversary episode. So stay tuned for next week. Also, before we forget, please enter the Pezzle Puzzle giveaway. All you have to do is leave a written review for us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, if you can leave a written review. Just leave us something, whether it's positive or neutral or whatever. We want to hear your thoughts. Yeah. Thank you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.